This is the Best Boys Podcast with Jessica Garcia and Monica Montoya.
Hello, Monica.
It's Friday night.
No, it's not. It's literally Wednesday.
That we just might run away.
It's Wednesday. We're here. I have to admit that Monica and I are under the influence this evening.
Just a little bit. Not even a lot.
No, but like enough.
Enough to make this interesting, because this, we've already talked about this movie. We'll talk about it in a second.
Yeah,
but
I am going to give this, I'm going to say that this is akin to the Sandra Bullock episode of Yesteryear, prior to which we took several tequila shots.
I would say, yeah, I feel like that's correct and also justified and also correct.
Yeah, we should do Sandra again. 10 out of 10.
Man, I love Sandra so much.
She's the best.
You know what's so funny is that The Blind Side was playing on a plane recently and I watched it. Uh-huh. Well, I didn't watch all of it. I watched like some of it just to like remind myself what how insane this movie was. This movie, I don't think that people understood how like insane this movie was when it came out.
Yeah. I mean, the idea of being a white savior, I mean, it was around.
Yeah.
But it wasn't talked about.
No.
You guys have to remember, this was pre-TikTok.
This was not TikTok being the one and only place for anti-racism. I can't.
This was also pre-people using Instagram stories. It might have been pre-Instagram stories.
That's so true.
So we didn't have everyone's waking thought, Monica. Can you remember a time? I can't.
I can
because I didn't really know about racism.
I'm actually living it now. The lack of thought constantly.
You are, because you're not really active on social.
I'm really not. And honestly, it's been the most rewarding experience. Not to be like that bitch. You know, like those people that are like, oh my God, like when I got off the grid, everything just got so much better.
Do you know how
the world got brighter?
I crave that.
The sky got bluer.
Yeah.
Everything just sparkled.
Yeah, and you would be like, the sky would be bluer to me if I was not ill all the time.
Yeah,
and
also like, I like that whenever, because you know, I still have a phone addiction. I feel like everyone's addicted to their phone now.
Absolutely.
So I still have like a phone addiction, but right. Every time I get like jittery, I just go through my inbox instead.
Okay.
And so it's like a much more productive,
right?
Like, you know,
I get it.
Instead of like scrolling or whatever. So that's kind of nice. Yeah. I still have it active because if I need to like go look at something,
yeah,
I will.
Do you want to know what Monica doesn't look at though? The things I DM her on Instagram.
Yeah, that's actually extremely true.
But then it's like a nice little gift for her every several months. She gets to go unwrap the crazy shit.
I know. And that's when my life just gets a little bit better.
Yeah.
That's
when.
You're
welcome.
Thank you. I was going to say you're welcome back, but there's nothing for me to you're welcome.
No, I'm not grateful. You are.
That's very true. Also, I noticed that you're wearing eyeliner today.
Yeah, I often wear eyeliner.
It just reminds me of Julia Fox.
I don't always tight line though.
Uncut chops.
So things are looking a little darker.
They are.
Than usual.
Well, I guess that's what I'm reacting to.
No.
Uncut chops.
Uncut chops. I'm Julia Fox. Guys, I look just like her.
You look just like her. Oh my God.
Have you ever seen Julia Fox?
If you're not following her on like TikTok or Instagram or like whatever, please do, because she posts the funniest
fucking
videos.
Hysterical.
She's so hysterical. Anyone who takes her like persona seriously is stupid. Like she's clearly trying to do something. And then when she's not, she's like, I'm just trying to make money. Like,
yeah, she's
what's
so,
your problem?
She's so transparent about her intentions.
I just love her. She's like, well, when I was a dominatrix, like I was, did I say that I was doing all of that? Like I knew what I was doing? No, but like, I'm trying to get my bag. And I was like, okay, Julia Fox.
And you were like, vibes.
Vibes. And she's like a mom and she has her son. Is it a son?
It's a son.
It's a daughter? It's a
it's
son?
It's a son.
It's a son.
It's a son.
She's like with her son and she's like, well, yeah, you gotta be there for your kid. And
isn't
I'm like,
isn't she
like
40 now?
I don't know. How old is she? We need to fact check this.
Aaron, find out.
I just know that she's doing way better than Kanye West. People who like came at her for dating him and they were like, you're just doing it for the clout. Look at her now, bitch.
She was like, yeah.
She was.
I was. She's 32.
Oh.
Why did I think she was 40?
Because she gives the vibes of like a seasoned person.
Yeah. I think I actually thought that she was still in her 20s. And then I was surprised to find out she was in her 30s.
Oh, no. She kind of seems like
but
30s.
Like in Uncut Gems, I was like, oh, you're 26. You're 27.
Oh, yeah. In Uncut
but
Gems,
then
I was like.
No shade, girl. No shame. She lost a lot of weight and it made her look a little older. So I think, you know what?
People don't realize that when you lose weight, you lose it in your face. And it's I know people like want to look snatched, but
gaunt.
Yeah, there's a point where you look a little bit like a skull.
Yeah.
And
your
when
skull
you
really starts to shine.
Yeah, and when your skull shines, you look older.
Yeah.
Shiny.
Like the skull in my head.
Shiny. Like Julia Fox after she lost all that weight. Oh my God.
We're going to go gold. Platinum even.
Platinum.
And we'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Now back to the show.
Okay, you guys. So it's Christmas time.
Christmas time is here.
Keep going.
Happiness and cheer.
Okay, anyway, now that we've been sued. So obviously we're doing a month of Christmas because you know us. And Monica texted me. She was like, I have a great idea. It's going to be Impish Christmas. And then she laid out all the films and I was like, incredible idea. We did that last year.
LOL.
But guess what? We're doing it again, but with different movies. So it's okay.
Also last year felt like 4 years ago because of the pandemic. So excuse me.
Agreed. I would say last Christmas didn't really feel like Christmas.
Last Christmas, I gave you my heart. Oh, okay. But rapid fire. What's your favorite Christmas song?
My favorite Christmas song?
Yeah.
Marshmallow World.
It's a marshmallow world in the winter. I like the line where he's like, take a walk with a beautiful girl.
It's a whipped cream day. In winter, it's a marshmallow world.
Oh my God. My favorite is Baloo Christmas.
Do you like the Elvis version?
Yeah, specifically. It's not even that like I like it like, oh, I love this song. It's that it makes me laugh. It's like,
Christmas without you would love to. I also am a big Santa Baby fan. What's your favorite, Santa. Like, what's your favorite, like, religious Christmas song?
Oh, Holy Night.
Okay.
That's for fucking sure. It slaps. When you hear the pop divas go for it, it's crazy. Fall on your knees. It's crazy.
I'm a big fan of Do You Hear What I Hear?
Do you hear what I hear? A star. I do not know those. I don't know the lyrics.
Dancing in the wind.
Night with its tail as big as a kite. With its tail as big as a kite. Wow, that was a whole like.
Maybe that was a medley.
Maybe we should have done a cappella. What was the a cappella club at your school?
We didn't have one.
You did have one.
No, we didn't.
At USC, you did.
Oh, at USC. I think in high school for
sure. They don't have a cappella groups
in
high school.
We had 8 different a cappella groups at USC, but the big ones were the Troy Tones.
The Troy Tones.
Yeah, yeah. And then what was the other one called? oh my God, it's really going to bother me if I can't remember it.
No.
Hold on.
The Troy Tones and...
Okay, so the two best ones were the all male and the all female
one. Oh, wow.
The co-ed ones were good, but not as good.
Well, probably because it was all the people who couldn't get into the other ones, so they just mixed them.
Yeah, the Troy Tones was like one of the best.
Okay.
And then the lady one was also one of the best. And of course, your internet is not loading.
Yes, it is. Let me look. When I looked up Julia Fox's outfit, it loaded.
The Sirens.
The Sirens.
Duh. Yeah, the Sirens. My friend Shannon was in the Sirens, and they were incredible.
I love that.
Yeah.
I bet you they just did a bunch of Mariah Carey covers.
They did a lot of Ariana Grande.
Oh my God, no.
Yeah, but it was really good. And then they would do medleys and shit. Yeah.
I do love an acapella medley.
I really wanted to join acapella in college, but I, as you know, can't sing in front of strangers.
You can't. You're like petrified of it.
Literally petrified. And I can't sing in front of anybody unless it's like in a show.
It's very true. You're very committed.
Yeah. Unless it's, if it's in a show, I'm there.
You have to. Because you have to.
Because I have to. Even an audition, 50-50 chance.
Yeah. It's true.
Yeah.
You were very nervous.
I know.
You were very nervous.
I know.
You got over it.
Anyway, back to the episode, which is the relevant part.
That's actually very true.
Is, okay. So first we're doing... Monica, tell us what movie we're doing.
Do you hear what I hear?
That's not the film we're doing.
I know. I was giving it an introduction.
Okay, I understand.
Do you hear what I hear?
Hooves on the roof. Watch out. It's Krampus.
It's Krampus. Yeah, so we're doing Krampus again. Hold your horses.
I think it's because we have to do it every year.
Hold your horses, okay? Do not turn this off yet. Don't do...
Come on.
I literally see your finger about to hit the stop button. Stop.
Yeah.
Have you stopped?
They've stopped.
Okay. So we're doing it again. Yes, I'm aware. But every single time we have something new to say about
it. It's one of those movies you watch and you just discover something new.
Something funky fresh.
Something that just like hits different.
Yes. Except in this case... It's like gingerbread men and snowmen and elves that are hitting you.
Yeah. Exactly. Monica, do you want to tell us about Krampus?
I would love to.
Okay.
Krampus came out in 2015, written by Todd Casey, Michael Dougherty, and Zach Shields. Directed by Michael Dougherty. Michael Dougherty.
Dougherty.
My Dougherty indie weirdy.
My Dougherty Krampus.
My Dougherty. based on the tale Krampus from Austro-Bavarian folklore. Yeah. So a folk tale from tidings high.
It's from yesteryear.
When his dysfunctional family clashes over the holidays, young Max, played by MJ Anthony, gets disillusioned and turns his back on Christmas. Meanwhile, this lack of festive spirit unleashes the wrath of Krampus, a demonic force of ancient evil intent on punishing non-believers. All hell breaks loose as beloved holiday icons take on a monstrous life of their own, laying siege to the fractured family's home and forcing them to fight for one another if they hope to survive.
What a riveting tale.
It's honestly
of survival.
A rush. One of my favorite parts of this movie is the opening. It opens on... we see like a bunch of people shopping for their holiday gifts.
Yeah, it's a really good opening.
And it's so fucking funny because it's completely slowed down. And I think it's to the tune of, it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. And it just gives off the most unsettling vibes.
Yeah.
It really just pulls you into the world of the film, which is like... anarchy.
Yeah.
Just complete anarchy.
The vibe is supposed to be Christmas is beautiful, but also fucking sucks.
Yeah, but also like our greed and like
issues
with each other have caused this holiday to become bad.
Yeah, exactly.
And not about the little Jesus in the manger.
Right.
With the three magic kings and the mother and the carpenter. Is that not who Jesus' father was? Was he not a
Joseph?
Carpenter?
I don't know.
You know what's really funny? Joseph ain't his dad.
No.
He's Joseph,
just supposed to accept it.
If Joseph went on the Maury show, he would not be the father.
Do
and
you
he would
remember
be doing that
who
dance.
Played Joseph in the Nativity movie?
Who?
Guess.
Who?
Guess.
Oscar Isaac.
Yeah.
He's so good.
Nuts. Who played Mary? What's she up to?
I don't know. I feel like Sarah Jessica Parker. Could you imagine?
I would fucking pay $1 million to see a version of the Nativity with Joseph as young Oscar Isaac and Mary played by current Sarah Jessica Parker. That's what I want to see.
It's perfect. It's Hollywood, perfect. Hit us up.
Make it happen.
Make it happen. The kids want it. The kids want it.
The kids are. It's just us two.
It's just insane that that they can like now retroactively age people.
Yeah, but it freaks me out. Like that's what I didn't like about The Irishman, because right. It looked cool, but then you would see like they did it poorly, but didn't hire stunt doubles for Robert De Niro, for literally everybody. And so they would have flashbacks or like, you know, of them getting into fist fights or running or something. And it's a young face on a fucking almost 80-year-old in a fight. And you're like, this is not consistent with how aging is.
Oh my God. I feel like that wasn't on purpose. I feel like they just didn't take that into account.
Yeah.
Which like, okay. When you're making a movie, there's millions of dollars at stake. There's like thousands of people's jobs at stake or whatever. Why do you not like cross all of your T's and dot all of your I's?
This is my feeling. Do you remember the whole ordeal with Clint Eastwood with American Sniper? Yep. With the fucking baby? And they were like, well, the first baby and the second baby were sick and we didn't have anything else we could do, so we just used a doll. And I was like, you didn't bother to get a doll that looked real, and so now your movie looks fucking stupid.
It does.
And it's a Clint Eastwood movie.
It happens on TV shows a lot more. Although yeah. I will say, like, now that TV shows are being shot like films, they have no excuse.
Yeah.
They have no excuse.
They also have so much money.
Oh my God, do you remember the Game of Thrones, like, Starbucks cup?
Yes.
Oh my God. That made it into the final. Do you know how many people had to watch that footage and miss that cup for it to make it?
We were just fucking watching Grey's Anatomy and they're blatantly like, they're in front of Mocha in downtown Los Angeles with a giant sign that says Mocha, and no one thought to like edit that out because they're supposed to be in Seattle.
What is this blatant disregard for?
Listen, all I'm saying continuity. Is that everyone in Hollywood needs to be fired and we're gonna take over.
We're taking over hundreds of jobs by ourselves.
Hundreds.
Clearly.
Hundreds. The next recession, our fault.
We just won't sleep. We just won't sleep. How
the
long?
The downfall of employment in the country?
It'll be us.
All about us.
We were the ones who did it. It was us, Orficer. Just kidding. Save your money, people. Don't trust banks.
And that was that on that.
I feel like Nick from New Girl was really on to something.
Listen, he's crazy, but he's also right.
He's also so right. He also like studied to be a lawyer. He like went to college and then applied to go to law school.
He's a smart man. He's just a kook.
Got into law school.
Yeah.
And then almost finished it.
Yeah.
Facts. Like he passed. Like he was passing his classes enough to make it to the almost end.
I know.
It's such a power move that he quit.
Facts.
It really is. And then he became an author.
He did. For a
Cajun detective.
Is he Cajun?
Yeah.
I don't remember.
He's from Louisiana.
Okay.
Right?
I don't know.
Because it's like,
let's talk about Krampus.
Krampus.
Another reason this movie slaps. Guess who the leading lady in it is?
Obviously, it's Toni fucking Collette.
Obviously, it's Toni Collette.
If you guys haven't listened to our Hereditary episode, yeah. I mean, she's stunning in that show.
She's fantastic, especially when she spider crawls across the ceiling.
Oh, so good. So talented. Didn't know she could do that.
I didn't know you could defy the laws of gravity, Toni.
Oh, physics?
That was beautiful.
Physics?
I bet she puts that on a resume under special skills.
Physics?
Can crawl on walls.
If needed. As needed.
Must give 24-hour notice.
Duties as assigned. I can't.
Okay, yeah. So Toni Collette's in this movie, naturally playing uptight mom. mom who's like, fuck Christmas, you guys all ruin it, and yet it has to be perfect.
So she's like the Martha Stewart type. She gets her home like to a T, like ready, right. Ready, yes. Freddy spaghetti. She has like her whole dining room set up. She has an entire beautifully wallpapered wall.
Yeah.
She has like an entire row of pictures of her family at Christmas time with Santa. She's like excited to like show it off, but at the same time is so angry that her family is coming.
Yes.
But at the same time wants them to be there. It's extremely family where you're
it's very family.
I love you,
but I hate you.
But I hate you, and I also don't want to be near you, but also come to my house and look at my stuff.
Exactly. Exactly.
It's very insane.
Another thing about this movie that I love is the child, MJ Anthony, is also the child from Chef, which is why we love him.
He's literally one of the best child actors I've ever seen in my life.
Isn't he also the little kid who played Pedro in It's Complicated?
I'm pretty sure. Like, I'm almost positive.
I mean, he's been on some sick movies. Chef, It's Complicated, Krampus, career over.
Honestly. Oscar
honorary.
He was also in the kid in Bad Moms. Not that that's...
Well... Bad Moms.
But yes, he was the kid in It's Complicated.
Thank you, Pedro.
Jake, why are you showering with your clothes on?
Wait, that was so good.
Did I sound like him?
You sounded exactly like him. You should get a job as a voice actor.
A voice actor.
An actor who is voice.
Evan, you should employ me at your jobs.
Okay.
Next stop on Krampus.
Next on Krampus. What if Krampus was just like a crime show or like a reality show or like...
Stop right there. The idea is too good. Do not let the public hear it.
Oh, you're right. Public, ignore what I just said.
You don't know the details, so you can't pitch it.
You can't pitch it. It's hours to pitch.
I want a mini series about Krampus being... No, okay, not a miniseries. I want a series a la Bob's Burgers, a la BoJack, where it's Krampus, and he is a retired detective in a small town in the North Pole. And he is an alcoholic naturally, but he's obviously just like trying to do good for the community, but everyone is like fucking hates him.
Like Krampus, you know what I mean?
Yeah, because he's Krampus and he's like, listen guys, I did that once. I went on a bender one time. I put those kids in those bags and hung them from trees. And I understand that that was the wrong thing to do at the time, but I'm here now.
He busted out his like notes app apology.
He posted a screenshot on Instagram.
I'm learning. I'm listening.
I'm listening and learning.
And also listening.
And I'm going to be taking some time to learn and listen.
And then while I'm learning and listening, I'm also thinking.
Thank you.
And also I'm reflecting. As I recover from this illness that is racism. It's an illness in all of us. Childrenism, the kidnapping of children.
Yeah.
It's in all of us.
Anyway, that's my pitch.
It's a very good pitch. I think in this movie, though, Krampus is nothing like this detective.
No, Krampus is quite scary in this film.
He's a puppet.
He's scary.
He's super scary.
He's quite scary. I'm going to, you know what? Because the beginning of the movie is like a little boring IMO, I'm going to skip to where the action starts, Monica. How do you feel about that?
I agree, especially because we did talk a lot about the family dynamics last time.
Yes. I think this movie really, like, I really think, hear me out. The catalyst in this movie.
I'm scared.
Is when the fat child eats the cookie.
Oh my God, dude. That's so true. Bro.
But isn't that true? Also, I love that they were like, you know, he's going to eat the cookie.
I know.
The fat kid.
But hear me out. The gingerbread cookie doesn't even look like a gingerbread cookie.
No.
It looks like a little doll.
Animated. And I can guarantee you it was a green thing on a hook.
A green thing on a hook.
But yeah, this fat kid is just like, cookie coming out of the fireplace for me.
It's very Augustus Gloop.
It really is. It's very
Augustus. It's giving Gloop.
It's giving Gloop. Oh my God.
Oh, the gloop of it all.
Oh, just for the gloop of it.
No, seriously, it doesn't look like a cookie at all. It looks like a doll.
Yeah.
He goes up to it, he eats it, and then he gets fucking sucked up the
fire. Yeah, and then they're like, holy fucking shit, and they try and pull him down, and it doesn't work. He gets pulled away. Goodbye forever.
It's true.
Bye, bye, bye.
And we'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Now back to the show.
And then I think when they get to the attic, that's when shit really gets spicy. The attic scene, I think that's where it all happens, you know?
In the attic scene?
Yeah, if you're not in the attic, where are you?
It's so true.
You know?
I was never led into the attic. I didn't know what went on up there.
Because we've got, okay, so when they go up into the attic, this, should we explain how this movie works? I don't know.
Yeah, explain.
Okay, so basically, the family is fighting, and there's a German grandmother, and she's like, you better believe in Santa Claus.
Yes, and by the way, she has a whole story that goes like that's like stop motion animation.
Yeah, she has a whole backstory.
But it's like not stop motion. It's that animation that looks like stop motion.
But isn't.
You know that movie Flushed Away?
Yeah.
It's that same style animation.
Okay, anyway, so there's this grandmother. She has this whole vaguely stop motion animated backstory about how Krampus took her parents when she was a young German child.
Took her, ransacked her village, killed everyone in the village except and took her parents. Yeah, and killed everyone except for her.
Exactly, and left her a little bell that said Krampus on it.
It said something. It's like Strauss von Krampus or something.
I don't know.
Levi Strauss von Krampus.
So cut to modern day. She's with this whole family, her family, who they all understand German miraculously. And
yeah, except not the trailer people.
No, not the people from the trailer, but like the grandkids, they understand it.
Yeah.
They don't respond to her in German, but she speaks to them in German and they're just like, well,
isn't it kind of disrespectful?
I don't fucking know, dude. Maybe they're like those kids who understand it but can't speak it.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
You know, and it's easier for her to speak German. Whatever. Anyway, so she's like, you guys need to be more grateful and believe in Santa Claus. Otherwise, there's bad shit's gonna happen.
Like, shit's gonna hit the fan for you.
And then, lo and behold, bad shit does happen. And Krampus comes to the neighborhood and he drops off a bag of gifts in their front yard and they bring it inside. And that is when all hell breaks loose because the gifts inside come to life and they're actually demonic and kill a lot of people. Yeah.
Things that I have to give props. I really have to give props to like all of the mask makers and like the costume designers because all of the masks in this movie are fucking terrifying. Krampus is practical.
Yeah.
He's not CGI.
He's cool.
He is a cool looking little puppet guy. He is.
The only uncool thing about the Krampus puppet is at the end when he confronts the grandmother in the house and he stares into her face and then they do the side shot and then his little tongue comes out. There's multiple tongues in this movie and I don't like it. I'm not a fan.
So many.
His little tongue comes out and like wiggles in the grandma's face and then he brings it back in and then we're supposed to be afraid of that. And I was like, now I just
think you're doing it for the wrong reasons.
Now you're just a fucking clown, Krampus.
You're just a clown.
You're just a fucking clown.
I love the audacity of this movie.
Yeah.
It's very audacious. I think that it's not necessarily campy. I think that it's just like a popcorn film.
Yeah, it's just silly.
Yeah, frankly, I don't think that like...
Well done for what it is.
You can go the rest of your life without watching this movie.
Would I advise you to? No.
No. I think you should absolutely watch it.
Krampus.
Yeah. I think that the funniest thing about Krampus is the fact that like we're all supposed to believe that these are all incredibly terrifying creatures. And yes, they are. Again, half of them are just like little guys in masks.
Listen, they made these toys about as terrifying as you can because like, okay, so when they get into the attic... They're going up there because they think they hear the voice of the daughter who has gone missing.
Yeah.
She went missing because she got eaten by a Jack in the Box naturally.
Not the fast food. The toy.
Like a literal toy Jack in the Box. She got eaten by one.
Inbox Jack, eat.
Yes, exactly. So they're in the attic and they're like, oh my God, she's in here. But just kidding. It's actually just the Jack in the Box is in there. And because he has ingested humans, he's grown to enormous sizes. And he opens his mouth and he just has like 12 rows.
11,000
teeth. And his face splits open like he's a Demogorgon.
But it's like just, a puppet.
But it's amazing. And so he's there. And then meanwhile, downstairs, we've got the uncle, aka the uncle from Hannah Montana. And he is down.
That's so true.
Dave Koechner, aka Uncle Earl.
Uncle Earl.
He's downstairs fighting, you guessed it, gingerbread men in the kitchen. They're shooting a nail gun at him and nailing him to the fridge. And he's like, fuck you, gingerbread men, and shooting them with a rifle. This is actually happening. And then they all start talking to him and they're like, fuck you. And it's very funny.
It's actually fucking hilarious. It all really comes to a head when the earth splits open.
Yeah.
And hell is there.
I would agree with that. That's at the very end.
Yeah.
When everyone has already been killed.
Like, and killed off in various ways.
Listen, I will say, the ending actually gets very emotional when they decide to make to be brave after the elves come, which is announced by the grandmother, them all hearing a noise and the grandmother going,
elves.
And then a bunch of elves break through the walls of the house and kidnap the aunt and like pull her away in chains. It's great. It's great fun. So they all decide, they're like, if we can make it to the snow plow, which is like a couple blocks away, we can snow plow to the mall and hide out there and maybe find other people.
Maybe.
Not going to happen though, because Krampus has definitely eaten them.
He's definitely like completely and like totally obliterated the town.
Yes, exactly. And so at the very end, it gets legit emotional because the parents, they all start sacrificing themselves
for
so
the kids.
The kids can keep going. And eventually the only kid left is MJ Anthony, obviously, because he's the only one left who believes in Santa Claus. And
Santa Claus,
get down my chimney now.
Oh my God.
Do you remember that?
I do remember.
Anyway, okay, so he makes it and then he stumbles upon Krampus doing like a ceremony?
Like a satanic ritual or
something. Yeah, like a ritual or something. All the elves are jumping around. There's fire.
They're like at like campground, like ground zero.
Is that when the earth splits?
Yes, and then that's when the entire earth splits, cracks open, and then we as an audience are staring down into this abyss that is hell.
Yeah.
And everyone's getting swallowed up by the earth.
Yeah.
And MJ's character is like, stop! Not today! Not my family!
I love them!
I love them and I love Christmas!
And his heart grew 3 sizes that day.
Literally. And he tells Krampus, he's like, stop what you're doing. I take it back. I take it all back. I didn't mean it. Like, I didn't mean to rip up my fucking letter and not believe in Santa.
Right.
I didn't mean to be a bad boy. And like, I didn't mean that my family was all like selfish and weird and greedy. I take it back. And Krampus is literally like, LOL. No.
Bitch, you thought.
That's literally not how it works.
Yeah, but he thinks that's how it works.
Yeah, and so he pushes the boy into the earth, and the boy's like, oh! And he lands in his bed, waking up the quote-unquote the next morning, aka Christmas morning, and everything is back to normal. Why? Because he wishes for Krampus to make Christmas like it used to be.
Yeah.
Way back when they weren't fighting all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And lo and be fucking hold, he's in his living room opening presents under the tree.
Yeah.
But guess what, bitches? They're stuck in a snow globe.
Yeah, they're stuck in a motherfucking snow globe. It zooms out. Krampus has all these little snow globes in his house, adding to his collection, naturally.
We're supposed to assume that they're stuck in there forever.
Yeah. And I would say the creepiest part about it isn't even that they're stuck in there together. It's that when the kid comes down the stairs and he sits on the couch and he looks around, he starts realizing that it's kind of weird. And then he like looks at his parents and they also definitely know it's kind of weird. And everyone knows that like something is up. And that's the, I would say, the eeriest part of it all.
That is the eeriest, because once it's when they see the bell that he had left behind, his present, they all remember, because I don't think any of them really remembered.
Right.
Or they probably thought it was a bad dream until they saw that bell. And I think their blood ran cold. And then the movie ends.
Fuck.
Yeah. And then the movie ends. It's just, it is frankly just such a delightful film.
Yeah.
I think that there are so few like horror Christmas films that like really get it right without being too gory.
Yeah.
And agreed. Krampus is definitely one of them. We're excited because another one of our upcoming films is another like horror action packed
Christmas
movie. So I'm excited to continue the team.
Me too.
I guess that's it. I guess that's Krampus.
Yeah. Thank you guys for sitting with us through all of our yolks tonight.
Our yodels. Yolks and yodels.
That's what you pay for.
And now, the bestest of boys.
The best boys. Do you want to say them or should I say them?
I'll go ahead.
Okay.
Our best boy electric, Adrian Hebron. Best boy grip, Maurice Kapua. Rigging. Best boy, Benjamin Vere Jones. Congratulations, all three best boys. You are the best.
You're
boys.
The best. You're the best of the boys.
Good job, guys.
Just kidding. Krampus is the best of them all.
Yeah. He would be upset if we.
I still have my Krampus tree topper.
I know. Are you going to put it on top of your Christmas tree?
Yeah, I am. Maybe tonight. Who knows?
What is your favorite Christmas decoration besides the Krampus?
Oh, I have that garland that's all of Santa's clothes hung up like it's a clothes line.
Yes.
I love that
one. That's a good one. I like that one a lot.
Thank you.
I also like all your stockings.
Oh, all my, you made my two favorite ones. Monica, so when I first moved into my old apartment like 4 or 5 years ago.
Because she used to live on this other apartment that was literally on Los Feliz Boulevard.
Yeah. No, other, it was my, the one I moved out of just now.
No, I know, but you,
I had my
Christmas
I'm
saying
party.
You moved from one into that one. She used to live on this like dangerous, this like literally dangerous to get to apartment building. Like you risked your life to visit her.
Monica's being dramatic.
No, I'm being really, really serious.
Okay.
You would risk your fucking life. Then when she moved, I was like, oh, exciting. This is a Christmas miracle.
Yeah. And then I had a Christmas party the first year. We had no furniture except for two couches. It was very fun. And we had everyone decorate stockings, and Monica made two for me to keep. One of them is a Krampus one, and it has a glitter glue Krampus on it with part of the toe ripped off to make it look like he chewed through the stocking.
Literally.
And then she made another stocking with all of the cuss words from that, from Bill Nye in Love Actually.
Yeah.
It's like wank, bugger, something.
Wank, bugger, something head and hole.
Oss head and hole.
Yeah. God, it's so fucking funny.
But I've got that on another stocking. Yeah. Both will be hung.
Incredible, because that's like that's my pièce de résistance.
Yeah,
great.
It's
my masterpiece. He says something like, ass shit has, say it.
Bugger shitting oss head and hole.
Head and hole. Love Actually, I know that you hate it.
I don't hate it.
I thought you did hate it.
No, I really like Love Actually. I think it's, listen, I had beef with a girl who worked with me at Anthropology who that was her favorite movie of all time.
No way.
And I said, really?
That's your favorite movie of all time? There's like no other better movie.
Her favorite Shakespeare play was also, or her favorite play period was Romeo and Juliet. And she's the... possibly the biggest Taylor Swift fan you've ever met.
Romeo, save me.
None of these facts are surprising when you put them all together.
What was her name?
I'm not gonna say.
Okay, I almost got you. I almost exposed you.
But anyway.
Krampus. That was Krampus.
What
are we doing next week?
I don't know. We'll figure it out.
That's not true.
We know. We're just not gonna say it.
Oh, yeah. If you don't like spoilers, look at the show notes.
Yeah, exactly.
Do that.
All right, Monica, you're the best.
You're the best, Jessica. Merry Christmas.
Merry Krampo. What?
Oh. Happy birthday, Aaron.
Oh.
Wow, you guys. Wait,
Let's take it again. We have to keep this in. We just got the most insane death glare. I can't be blamed. You requested that, and then your wife gave me drugs, and then I forgot.
Wait, you guys. We got the most insane death glare from this half-Jewish man.
Aaron.
About his birthday.
Aaron's birthday is tomorrow, aka today, when this comes out.
Yeah, so happy birthday.
Let's sing him happy birthday, Monica.
Uno, dos, tres. Happy birthday to you. That sounds horrible.
Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday, dear Aaron.
Happy birthday to you.
And many more.
You're the best, Aaron.
Wait. What did you ever sing this in elementary school? When
happy birthday,
happy many birthday, times. But no. I want to fucking maim you.
Okay, what's your real question?
That song, like something about Scooby Doo.
Yeah, you remember? And something on Channel 4, and Scooby Doo on Channel 2,
and a big fat lady on Channel 80. Why was there a big fat
Spider-Man on Channel 10? Something like that. I don't know why.
Why would we do that?
I don't know. Can we end the episode?
Let's end it. Good night.
Good night. You're the best, Aaron.
You're the best, Aaron.
Thanks.
Oh, God.